So I wanted to make this before I go and see the Morbius movie, but it is something that essentially I kind of been mulling over about the Spider-Man villain movies that they're constantly making. Because next one after Morbius, I believe, is going to be Kraven the Hunter, which basically upon finding out about Kraven the Hunter, when I thought about it, I was like, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Nah, if you're not, especially if you're not going to introduce Spider-Man with him, the fuck? So, with that, realistically, these villain movies, because they've been bad. I'll give you that. Venom, I kind of let go because I enjoyed the movie, but ultimately, the movie itself just can't, it doesn't function properly because of what Venom is, what he's capable of doing, and his origin. See, it's one thing to just pull a rabbit out of your ass and sit there and call it magic, but it's another thing where it's not actually being done properly. I mean, these characters and their identity and the reason why they're Spider-Man villains in the first fucking place is because of how their origins are kind of indiscriminate with Spider-Man in some way, shape, or form. I mean, he has a hand in doing something, which is why these people come into being. For Kraven instance, he generally actually comes to hunt Spider-Man, whether he's hired by someone or he just witnesses what Spider-Man does, then essentially just because of his prospects of being one of the greatest hunters out there, he decides to go after him. So how the fuck do you expect to do a movie that's about Kraven the Hunter, if you're not essentially going to have any Spider-Man instance in there? Because then it's like, then what the hell is the point of the Spider-Man? Like, then what will be the point of having him go after Spider-Man, you know? If that's not going to be his in into like whatever it is that you're trying to do with Spider-Man. Now, what Sony has been doing with these movies have basically been just really, really fucking lazy. And honestly, it's because of the fact that they keep ushering or looking towards the MCU people in terms of helping them create a character, when realistically they should look at this shit like Disney, I mean like DC does, where these individual characters and these individual stories essentially come across with the prospect of being its own individual thing. You don't need to fucking franchise every goddamn thing. And honestly, there's just as much money into not franchising as there is in franchising. I mean, look at what the Batman movie did. It's not connected or affiliated with anything, but it's just its own standalone Batman movie, much like a lot of the previous Batman movies. So you don't really need to concern yourself with trying to over-encompass everything within the MCU or have shit fit in this grandiose storyline or whatnot, because honestly, that shit ain't it ain't cool no more. Like realistically, it's not cool anymore. It's not, there's no purpose in doing that now. Rather than just making a movie that essentially has all of the bullet points that make these characters whom these characters are supposed to be. It's very insulting towards the characters for one thing. But also it's really just a lackadaisical way of handling these characters. I mean, the Morbius movie itself looks like it's just a Venom clone where a character gets a power, there's another character out there who gets a similar power, and then they fight. And honestly, without the addition of Spider-Man, then how the fuck does this even matter with Spider-Man himself? I always thought Morbius was a really weird fucking choice for a villain to get his own independent movie, especially a Spider-Man villain. But not only is he like such a low-tier Spider-Man villain, the concept of essentially this might also being a way to shoehorn in Blade or something like that, it's just really fucking lazy. Morbius isn't that big of a threat, nor does he really fucking matter on that level. But also, you miss one of the things that makes Spider-Man's rogue gallery so interesting, is because of the connection a lot of people have with these characters. And one thing with Morbius is the fact that essentially you could easily equate to his conditioning being something of a drawback from trying to study or help Peter with his issue, much like what they did in the animated series back in like the 90s. And honestly, it fit and it worked because of the fact that Morbius wasn't just a blood-sucking monster. He was someone that Spider-Man was trying to help. There, ergo, it wasn't just trying to kick his ass and then be done with it. It was like, no, like this dude has a problem and it's my, and he blames himself for it, which is a Spider-Man thing. And it added to the motif of Spider-Man into the Rogues Gallery and whatnot. Hell, and it was a wonderful introduction with Blade by having that be something to where Blade's just a vampire hunter and you see all vampires as monsters while Spider-Man's trying to stop him from killing Morbius. And then they pseudo team up, also crap, blah, blah, blah. The 90s anime series is really good. But it's something to where it's like, by completely ignoring the elephant in the room, which is Spider-Man, you're really ultimately ruining the concept of the character. Now, you could refer to the Joker movie, where that essentially was where like anyone and their mama could tell you that Joker needs Batman in order for him to be what he is. But what the Joker movie did that was beautiful is that essentially it flipped the script for that concept to where it wasn't that no matter what, Batman is the cause of Joker's being. Instead, it became that Joker was the cause of Batman's being, which was a wonderful way to keep those characters still intertwined with one another, but also having their dynamic in itself still matter and be there. To where it's like, yeah, the manifestation of what Joker is created Batman, much like how typically the manifestation of what Batman is and what he did caused the Joker. So by flipping the script, it just literally did that. It just flipped the script. It didn't get rid of anything. It didn't make it to where Bruce Wayne was a non-entity within the Joker movie. It made it to where literally dealing with the Waynes was a plot point within the story. It was something that needed to get discovered or something that Arthur Fleck needed to address. So it wasn't anything that's too far-fetched because it wasn't that, you know, it's because of Batman and then him doing the whole Red Hood heist and then that's how he became the Joker as a situation. But it was something nonetheless that basically felt natural as well as authentic towards the character, but it also kept in mind with the hero that shapes the villain in the first fucking place. So when you had the Venom movie, which literally undermined and undercut everything that makes Venom Venom, like the reason why he has his fucking name isn't because it's just an off-brand name. Like, and I hate the first movie for some of the lame shit that they do in the Venom movie, but there's just so much that's just like, it's actually good, but there's like, it's to me, it's like 70-30. 30% of it is good, 70% of it is kind of just really fucking terrible in terms of following Spider-Man lore or just being a good movie in general. But you have even the concept of his name. The reason he's called Venom is because he is the bane of Spider-Man's existence. He wants to be a poison in his life, and so he becomes Venom. He is Venom to Spider-Man. That is the shtick. That is the point of the name. So by removing that, you kind of make it to where it's like, why the fuck would he call himself Venom then? They're like, well, it's the name he already had. That doesn't make any goddamn sense. Symbiotes don't work like that. But you want to sit there and issue and have the symbiote world soldiers and shit like that, them crash landed on Earth and all this bullshit. And you just ultimately just kind of disallow any notion that you can even connect the two concepts of both Venom and Spider-Man in any way, shape, or form. And it's disgusting. Like, would it really have been that hard to hire someone new to play Spider-Man? Would it really have shaken the world that fucking much? No, people would have had an issue with it, but you still could have Tom Holland do the MCU movies. It's not that big of a deal. It really isn't. It's a part to play. It's a goddamn character. And honestly, I haven't seen Spider-Man done correctly yet. Like, no one has done him correctly. Andrew Garfield had the best quips when it came to being or actually portraying Spider-Man and some of the better web mechanics. But also, you had him be a far more edgier Peter Parker because you desperately needed that. And it is like really the lighthearted, jokey side that they had of him in The Amazing Spider-Man 2. I enjoyed, especially like his back and forth with Aunt May. Those were classic. But having it to where everything was like on his shoulders and he was just like super depressed all the time and kind of making really stupid fucking decisions for no reason, that was uncharacteristic of Peter Parker. But then you had Tobey Maguire, who basically a lot of people would argue was the best Peter Parker. But essentially, he didn't make it the web shooters, which is something that akin to Peter Parker's intelligence. He had other ways of showing his intelligence, but still, that is something that is detrimental to the character realistically. You didn't have You also had it to where, I'm sorry, I had to take a drink. But you also had it to where his Spider-Man itself barely did any quips. He kind of had jokes every now and again, but it wasn't necessarily as funny of an antic that typical Spider-Man is known for. Like, one of the things is that he has the ability to just sit there and focus on talking about and insulting people because of the fact that everything with him is automatic because of the spider sense and the way of the spider fighting technique. So, and it's like, so like you, the Tobey Maguire movies kind of had a far more serious note. Like, when it did get funny, it was funny, but it just was a general awkwardness with Tobey Maguire's character overall, rather than just Spider-Man himself being his own type of funny and witty, and Peter Parker having his own type of funny and witty concepts. So it waned, it varied. To this day, though, Spider-Man 2 is my favorite Spider-Man movie. I consider it, yeah. But I do state that Into the Spider-Verse is like quite possibly one of the best Spider-Man movies I've ever seen, where they were able to actually do a lot of stuff that Spider-Man is known for simply because it was in animation rather than doing live action. The eyes being able to move, a lot of the back and forth with the characters, the quips, hell, having it to where even though it's doing a multiverse setting, you still got Peter Parker. And then even though it introduced Miles Morales, who is arguably, you know, well, he's not arguably, he is a tokenized version of Peter Parker. He basically got all the same things, but that movie itself made a totally different Miles Morales than what the comics have presented us, which is basically nothing of a character. Just this Hispanic black Peter Parker that kind of just was like a little bitch in the beginning of his run. Then afterwards, it's like they stopped. But there's nothing really to that. And then you got Tom Holland's Spider-Man, which is just god fucking awful. He's not Spider-Man at all. Nothing about him is Spider-Man. He doesn't even know who the fuck Uncle Ben is. That wasn't even a tragedy to him, because we just had it as an off-brand statement once during Civil War, where he was like, I was told a long time ago that when you have the ability to do something and you don't, that's when the bad things start happening. And then they just glossed over that, because Disney be damned if they sit there and have the actual thing that makes Spider-Man Spider-Man actually exist within this cookie cutter bullshit ass multiverse cinematic universe that they got. So there has never been a correct Spider-Man. No one has done a correct Spider-Man yet. So having it to where he's a character that exists, but essentially the story itself not focused on him, would have been really fucking interesting. There hasn't been a superhero movie yet that has basically done that, where it's not just one off, just constantly showing you the villain's origin, but instead having the hero just take the back seat towards what the villain is actually doing. So instead of you getting, oh, this is the hero going through his trouble and issues while the villain is being turned into the villain, instead you have it to where the villain is going through his trouble and issues, and then he becomes the villain while the hero constantly comes in and stops him. And then from the villain's perspective, you could see it as, you know, I'm just trying to cure myself, but you're stopping me. But with the hero's perspective, it's like, yeah, but you're harming innocent people. And it's like, well, I'm not trying to. It's just a backlash of me trying to fix myself. But when I'm done, you know, maybe I'll give you guys a blanket or something. Something like that would have been a creative turn. It would have been a nice little twist. Hell, you could have had it to where the Venom movie itself starts off with after the bell being rung, and then the Venom and then like the symbiote itself lands on Eddie Brock, or you can see Eddie Brock's life through you know, you're watching a movie and it's going through Eddie Brock's life and essentially all that he loses because of Spider-Man and Peter Parker. How awesome would that have fucking been? You know, like seeing Tom Hardy essentially trying to do his reporting job and then essentially getting stopped every which way because of either him cutting corners, because that's something Eddie Brock does, or, it's like he's an investigative journalist, but he does shady shit sometimes. So you have him cutting corners. You have it to where his fiance breaks up with him. You have it to where Peter Parker embarrasses him in front of a bunch of people, or he tries to do something with Spider-Man and Spider-Man embarrasses him and it causes him to lose his job and a whole bunch of other crazy shit. And then essentially it just boils down to him going to the church, like getting upset and then getting the symbiote on top of him. But you're following from his perspective. We're not seeing what Peter is going through with the symbiote. We're not seeing all the terribleness that's going on. But then you get the insight between the concept of the symbiote merging with Eddie Brock. See, and this is just me bawling off the top of my head because I actually am a fucking fan rather than some executive or some writer who just doesn't understand or care about the fucking characters, but instead got a story that they want to tell because their fan fictions are just so goddamn important. Fuck. But these movies themselves just really, really can't, they just can't work. They, like, no matter what you do or how much you try to shoehorn this into the public, the shits won't work because no one's going to identify or care with these characters because they don't have a foothold in anything without the hero as the opposite figure for them to deal with Spider-Man being the opposite figure, I should say, to deal with. So you don't really feel a plight for Kraven the Hunter and his obsession with hunting or anything like that, because the story itself is going to do this one-off weird thing. You have in Morbius to where he has this disease and blah, 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 and everything, and then he just becomes this bat monster. It just seems like the bad story of a horror movie to where some guy accidentally becomes a vampire, you know? Something from Dusk Till Dawn or whatnot. But rather than, oh, this is the origin story of a goddamn Spider-Man supervillain, you know? Especially if it's like, well, Spider-Man's not going to be in the movie because we don't want to confuse the public. But, bitch, come on. This doesn't make any sense. I mean, much like with the end of the No Way Home Spider-Man movie, you had Venom and Eddie Brock cross over, but yet you did not explain how the fuck they would know who Peter Parker is, because in their world, they don't have him. And then just to tease people with possibly a Venom thing, you have like a little piece of him get left behind when he went back, because you're so bad at writing and you guys suck so hard at doing anything on your own. Like, Jesus Christ, just the worst kind of worst kind. Fuck, that shit was so lazy. I hated every moment of it. I actually was at work one day and a guy was like, yeah, I love that Venom part, and I just smiled and I was like, yeah, and I was like, because you're a normie, you don't get this shit. So you look at it and it's like, ding dang, walla walla bing bang. It's just yay sparks and figures, and I know that person, them being here is cool. Does it make sense within the movies? No. Do these movies need to get recognized or make any chronological sense? Yes. Do they? No. So go fuck yourself. I mean, Jesus Christ, after all these years, we're about to get a second Doctor Strange movie, and I'll be damned if I remember any fucking character's name or won't sit there and question the fact that why wasn't any of this shit apparent during everything else that has transpired? I don't know. And also sit here and care about past characters as if they fucking matter or whatnot. Nigga, please. But whatever. Just whatever. Though, I don't really, because like with Venom, it makes no sense because he wouldn't be what he is if it wasn't for the anger, hatred, and the rage that comes with being like detesting Spider-Man and Peter Parker, as well as what made Eddie Brock such a danger. Because of the fact that he knew both his identity and was in a position where he was 1,000 times stronger than him. Hell, you could have definitely taken a page from Spectacular Spider-Man, which handled Venom okay. It didn't, it was kind of the alien thing, but it just, because Spectacular Spider-Man was copying way too much from Ultimate Spider-Man, and it really did not need to, but it's the best Spider-Man animated series that's ever came out. But essentially, like, the way how it handled the confrontation between Venom and Spider-Man, like, at the end of the first season was just masterfully done, to where he even got Venom to come back to him. And he was like, you wanted to show me that you were better without me. And it was like, so I see I was wrong. Like, let's come back to your first love. And then it did. And it was great. It was just great. and even having, like, the withdrawal effects from it, like, being, like, having a drug and all that. And it was like, it's just all this power and whatnot. Just amazingness, you know, and that could have been implemented or done in a certain way. But then again, I'm talking from the perspective of someone who actually is creative rather than these people who are not. And then you have Morbius, to where it's like, you know, you could be like, he could go to school alongside Peter Parker. You could have issues and moments where they're talking and speaking, and then like they're studying together and whatnot. Morbius is getting close with people that know Peter, you know, he's dating a friend of his, literally the same shit that they did in the animated series, which is something akin that a lot of people would only know from Morbius, because again, he's such a fucking off-brand character to even be using. I don't understand the process of this, nor like the concept of it making any fucking sense, you know, in the long run. Like I'm pretty sure they're trying to lead up to a Sinister Six movie, but realistically, they're going about it in a terrible way. But even still, you know, you have a Morbius just getting close or whatever, and it's just his experiment go awry. The confrontation of the movie is that essentially he was really close to figuring out a cure, and there might be like another person like him being created, but every step of the way where he's being stopped from actually helping himself or stop the other guy who basically is doing things that he's taking the rap for, he's getting stopped by Spider-Man, which makes the movie a thousand times more interesting. You know, it's like, I'm holding back the thirst and I'm not trying to kill people, but there's another vampire guy going out doing the same thing that I'm supposedly being blamed for doing, but I'm not doing it. I need to make a cure, but you're not listening to me because you don't trust me. Trust me. All of that. Great. You know, it's an okay way of storytelling. It'd be an interesting movie to see. And again, from the villain perspective, and then you can understand exactly how easily it can be misunderstood that, oh, because you's a villain, you a villain. And it's like, no, there's layers to the shit. But again, creative. And with Kraven the Hunter, ultimately, that's the main one that's kind of just super disappointing. Because everything about Kraven the Hunter is incredibly and very, very much interesting, as far as I'm concerned, with his character. Hell, one of my favorite things is that the original Kraven actually killed himself when he captured Spider-Man. Well, he thought he killed him. And he was like, well, there's no longer a point for me. Like, I have nothing else to challenge me. I did it. I did my goal. And he was like, I have nothing else to live for. And he fucking kills himself. And it's like in that moment, it was like, yeah, like all that he lived for was just trying to best Spider-Man. And then he did. And even still, Spider-Man still made it out alive. But Kraven didn't know that. And by that time, he already had killed himself. And then like someone else takes up the mantle of Kraven the Hunter or whatever. But it's just that depth and complexity with these characters. They're popular and they're famous for a reason. It's not just because they're in correlation to Spider-Man. They themselves have their own storylines, their own character development, so much stuff that goes on with them that's like you can easily explore this shit without just being this cookie cutter copy and paste movie structure that essentially you've seen done before and it had mild success, and then that's an excuse to just do this shit over and over and over again. That's MCU all the way. Like that's their entire structure of their fucking movies. But you don't need to follow that. I mean, DC has the right idea by separating all of this shit that they have. And it's like, you have so many IPs and so many characters. They do not need to exist in the same universe. They can do their own thing in their own world. So far, they're only doing this shit with like known characters like Batman, but they definitely could do this with other shit with so many other characters, so many other people and whatnot. And it would be cool. It would be amazing, but they don't. They only stick to the ones that they know is gonna make the big bucks now, because they still believe that everything's in that fucking franchise mindset. But normies don't give a damn now. They just only see the product name, you know. And it's like, now just because something is a correlation to Marvel, they want to purchase it. Now because something is purchased or owned by DC, they want to watch it. So you can have your cake and eat it too. You just got to be smart about it. Promote the shit like you would everything and anything else. We're doing this movie that's about this. Is it fitting within the DC EU? No, it's just this own movie, much like the Batman or this or whatnot. Oh, that's interesting. A different Wonder Woman movie, you know, a different, just get out of that idea and that notion that only one person can play this character. Fuck that. You have a multitude of people playing a certain character, whatever. And then you want to do your little crossover bullshit? Do it. Who cares? But for the life of you, like, just, God damn it. I was like, do whatever it is that's necessary for you to do to just show some type of respect towards these characters. That's the main thing that I'm asking, because that's what we're not getting at all. Normies have no idea who the fuck these characters are, so they're going to eat up whatever you slop in front of them anyway. But to the people who actually know about this shit, they care. And because they care, all you have to do is just show the smallest bit of intention that you care too. Not just because you mentioned the name, but because you actually have shown you give a damn. So look up what the fuck their origin is and then go, how do we structure this? And then just let everyone and their mama know that, hey, DC is taking on a movie that's about this. Cool. Or Marvel is taking on a movie that is about this. Cool. Let everyone know, promote it the way that you should. And then when it comes out, watch that it actually does well. This is based off of a comic book character. It's not correlated to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, meaning that we could do whatever the fuck we want. And if anything, you can keep your shit now far more in-house than you ever could before, to where you no longer have to worry about it reaching into the MCU or correlating until after Thanos, or having a powerful character that needs to explain why they weren't doing shit when Thanos was doing shit. You don't have to do that. You can just make a movie. God, I would love to see an actually good Black Panther movie. I'm not going. Like, they're never going to make that, because they would have to make T'Challa smart in order for that to happen. And a nigga can't be smart. So that'll never happen. But I really wish I could see that, because wouldn't that be interesting? But for the life of me, I have no idea exactly what their moves are or why they're going at them this way. The superhero genre is really dead. It's not going to be as big as it could possibly be, and or like as big as it was. It's time to move on, realistically. And if you're looking towards the No Way Home movie as a reference, and it's like, think of what the fuck happened to make that movie. You're dealing with three generations of Spider-Man that have like came out over the years, all coming together in one movie, and it basically being the worst kept secret of all time. Yeah, that really has nothing in that. Like, that's no contest in terms of that actually making money. You know how many people cared that Toby was coming back? Like, a lot of fucking people cared that Toby was coming back. So I'd be remiss if I didn't sit there and say that nostalgia, as well as the drawing power of Spider-Man, the world's greatest superhero, like that is the number one superhero in the world right now. His drawing power, as well as nostalgia baiting, his drawing power, and just the sheer, I guess the concept and the Rogues Gallery itself being done in, but mainly it was the nostalgia factor. It was mainly the nostalgia factor, as well as then even the concept of it being Spider-Man. It was really the nostalgia factor that brought that back, because that's what did it. So don't get it twisted that this is some shit that can happen with any other MCU property. Fuck no. Like, absolutely not. So it's just something to think about, really. It's terrible, but it is what it is. So crossing my fingers, I'm gonna go see the Morbius movie, and hopefully it's not like just garbage, but I'm not expecting anything because of the fact that it doesn't have Spider-Man. I just don't understand the appeal or the concept of even trying to do what they're doing. Essentially, it just seems like because Sony has the money to put up with it, they're pulling off what Universal tried to do with their monster movie villain type shit, where was it like they try to start off with Tom Cruise being the Mummy, and then it was gonna have Russell Crowe being Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Boy. That's actually not that bad of a movie. The Mummy movie with Tom Cruise is not really that bad. If anything, it's interesting that you had it to where he was a thief. So the Mummy was drawn to him because he was inherently a bad guy. So when he became a monster, he stayed a bad guy. I like that. It was cool. I mean, he ran away, like he was with a girl, and like instead of running back to try and save the woman, he took the fuck off. That movie has such potential, but wasted. Ah, what are you gonna do?